Everybody, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Happy birthday to Jack Silver. Look at that.
I just, you know, realized I've worked with our program director for a long time, and we don't want to, you know, get into specifics of his birthday, but...
50.
He's celebrating his birthday today, and he's enjoying himself, and I thought, you know...
The big 5-0.
Because we used to work together down in San Diego, and I remember there was always a 15-year... difference, exactly 15 years. But literally, I was 22 and he was 37. And now I'm basically almost the age he was.
Wow.
Wow, that's really weird. So I just, I ran in here. I didn't want the day to go by. I called him up just to say happy birthday. And he said, here's the quote of the night. Brian, I'm 50 effing years old. It sucks. I said, dude, have a few drinks. It doesn't suck. You're fine. You've got beautiful children. You've done good. See you later.
Like Centrum, it's a good time to be silver, right?
Yes, it's always a good time to be silver.
All right. It must be news coming in. Robin's coming in. What's in the news, Robin?
Now,
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news. Yeah.
All right, Robin in the news. What's happening today, baby?
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis took the Screen Actors Guild Awards as another opportunity to speak about the tragic loss of Heath Ledger. And we have a little audio of that. D-148.
The guy never met him. He's going on Oprah. He's going on the SAG Awards. Everywhere with this guy.
But he's literally never met him.
Never met him.
Yeah. What a nut.
In Monsters Ball... That character that he created, it seemed to be almost like an unformed being, retreating from themselves, retreating from his father, from his life, even retreating from us, and yet we wanted to follow him, and yet we're scared to follow him.
All right, I think we get it.
Wait a minute. No. I have asked a serious question, because Hollywood's an effed up place. He's really not his friend?
He's never met the guy. I mean, when he was on Oprah...
How pissed would you be watching this and you really did know Heath Ledger and Daniel Day-Lewis is up there like eulogizing one of your best friends and they never met? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Heath Ledger was on Oprah and, you know, he's very distracted by the Oprah interview because he was mourning his not friend.
Right, Daniel Day-Lewis was on Oprah.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis was on Oprah and mourning a guy who he's never met in Heath Ledger.
Yeah, that was a weird moment on the Oprah show, too.
Yeah. Do we have the clip of that?
Oprah, I hope you don't mind if I speak about this, but there's something I feel very unsettled at the moment, and I suppose it's because I only just saw the news about Heath Ledger's death.
Yes.
It seems somehow strange to be talking about anything else. Not that there's... anything to say, really, except to express one's regret and
say stuff.
All right, we get it.
I love this bra.
That was the next segment where they did bras. You know, can I say one thing about that clip? He says, you know, I feel, you know, so unsettled by it, and I guess it's because I'm seeing for the first time that Heath Ledger's death. And Oprah goes... Yes. And she sounds a million miles away. Is she in the same studio?
Well, she doesn't want to bring down that audience. I mean, that audience is on the brink of radical depression to begin with.
What, the Oprah audience?
Oh, yeah.
Even after the exciting intro of the show?
Women are home all day?
Yeah, they're pretty depressed.
Oh. And they're on, you know, massive antidepressants. And she doesn't want to bring him. She doesn't want to push him over the edge with depressing crap on that show. So I get it.
She makes him cry all the time.
All right, Heath Ledger, another tribute from Daniel Day-Lewis.
I mean, this is tribute number two from Daniel Day-Lewis, who, again, according to all reports...
He's never met him.
Never met Heath Ledger.
In Monsters Ball, that character that he created, it seemed to be almost like an unformed being, retreating from themselves, retreating from his father, from his life, even retreating from us, and yet... we wanted to follow him, and yet we're scared to follow him almost.
Jesus Christ.
It was unique. And then, of course, in Brokeback Mountain,
Was... What's his name again?
Unique. He was perfect.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
That scene in the trailer at the end of the film is as moving as
anything I've
ever seen. And I'd like to dedicate this to Heath Ledger.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There he goes.
I think he had a thing for him.
I don't know what happened.
No, I mean,
the actors are real odd. They're very emotional. And
no, I've never seen a person, a dude really, react so emotionally to the death of someone he never met.
Yeah,
and did not know.
Right.
I mean,
but
it's ridiculous.
But actors are a different group. I mean, they get real. Their feelings are all over the place.
I know, but it's...
And they're like, that's why they're such a tight-knit group once they make it, because other actors can relate to what they're going through. And people outside the acting world, like me, not so much you, because you're an actor.
Now, get out of here.
But people like me...
And me...
You can't relate to that stuff, so we just sort of think it's corny. Here's something I saw last night for the first time. It dawned on me how stupid this title is. But last night during the Screen Actors Guild Award, they have two awards that they give out. They give out the Best Male Actor and Best Female Actor.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
What happened to Best Actress?
Yeah, what happened to that word, actress?
Has a guy ever uttered these words in the history of this planet? Yeah, I'm dating this really hot female actor.
No, he doesn't say that. No, he doesn't say that.
So the Screen Actors Guild doesn't reflect society on that level.
That is correct. I would agree with you, yes.
Has anybody ever said that?
No.
Like talking to a buddy.
But I've heard...
Dude, I just met the hottest female actor.
No, but I've talked to guys who have said, I'm dating an actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what they call them.
That's what they call them.
Stewardess? Steward?
Well...
You know why they do that? So you know what you're getting. You know, like if you go get a massage and they say, you know, who would you like, a masseuse or a masseur?
Well, I still get those confused. Masseuse is a woman, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I just say a woman, please.
Oh, I see. All right.
Okay. So there can be no...
a caveman walking in there.
No, the...
Half hour woman.
I just have the... I don't know French.
God. All right.
Okay, go ahead, Rob. Then I want to say something to you.
What's going on with you? What do you got?
No, you said that I'm an actor. You're an actor as much as I'm an actor. And you know what I think we should do? I think we should play our clips and let the audience decide.
Who's a better actor? You are by far.
Get out of here.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, Democrat Barack Obama said Sunday that his landslide win in South Carolina during the presidential primary marks a turn in political history.
I agree with that.
Showing that a black candidate can appeal to voters of all colors in all regions.
I agree with that.
And here's the presidential hopeful speaking on that. 0126.
0126. Here we go.
We're not just against the ingrained and destructive habits of Washington. We're also struggling with our own doubts, our own fears, our own cynicism. The change we seek has always required great struggle and great sacrifice. And so this is a battle in our own hearts and minds about what kind of country we want and how hard we're willing to work for it.
I love me. I love me. What do you love?
Got a big victory.
Yeah, big victory.
It's over for your girl.
No, it is. Number one, it is not over for Hillary Clinton. That will be proven, of course, come Super Tuesday. And let me say this. I don't know how Barack Obama, what's history making about his win in South Carolina. I'm a proud Democrat, so I can speak openly about it. I like Barack Obama, but it's not historic that an African-American candidate would win in the South Carolina primary. That's not historic. Jesse Jackson did it. I think Jesse Jackson did it two times. So what is the Robin, help me. What's the historic nature of his victory?
Well, it is up for debate.
He beat a woman. No black guy's ever beat a woman in South Carolina.
Well, that is
in the polls.
A little history. But, I mean, I think I saw that only one in four white people voted for Barack Obama. That means...
Because they're racist.
No, they're not racist, but I don't see, you know, overwhelming...
They hate the blacks.
If you were telling me 80% of white people voted for this black candidate, I would say, oh my gosh, it's great, history's been made, you know, that's definitely a number we've never seen before. but I've yet to see the statistics that warrant the label historic.
We're not.
It sounds like, you know, the first two words he says, he sounds like Dr. Phil.
We're not. We're not.
A little bit, yeah.
We're not.
Dr. Phil, man. There he goes.
All right.
And Jerry will throw a Dr. Philism in there, I'm sure.
In 7, 8, 9.
To compare
10,
it, I'm sure that'll happen.
11, 12.
What you just said is articulate.
We're not.
It is intelligent.
We're not.
It is logical.
We're not.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, I believe that former President Bill Clinton would agree with Brian because he says that he pointed out yesterday that while talking about Barack Obama's South Carolina victory, that Jesse Jackson won the state in 1984 and 1988.
Oh, so it was both years.
Well, yes. Right. The former president got plenty of attention. Clinton seemed to be encouraging the perception that Obama won because of support from black voters. And we have audio of the former President Clinton expounding on this. C-131.
Here we go. President Clinton again.
Jesse Jackson won South Carolina twice in 84 and 88. And he ran a good campaign. And Senator Obama's run a good campaign here. He's run a good campaign everywhere.
Oh, there he goes.
Now, all I said was I challenged the suggestion from you, Robin, that it was a historic victory. Was it a great victory? Absolutely. An inspiring victory? Absolutely. It was all of those things. But historic, historic would mean that something happened there that has never happened before. I guess if you broke down the numbers of who voted for who, maybe there is some history in the voting. And
how irritating is it to Hillary Clinton where the only soundbite they play after her loss is from him?
Right, but it's not.
Jesse Jackson won South Carolina twice in 84 and 88.
Right. They didn't even ask her. He's running for president, not her.
That's right. He's back. And no, I mean, it's certainly, look, it's not historic that
I know, you made your point.
African-American would win a Southern primary.
I know. You've made your point.
No, well, no.
You've said it four times. You've made it.
One man's inspirational and tremendous is another man's historic, apparently.
All right.
No, everybody's jumping on Clinton, though, and getting pissed at the Clintons. Like the Clintons suddenly don't like black people when
that's not what they said.
No, I know no one here said that. But in the media, the perception is, you know, oh, Bill Clinton has deeply offended black people. And there was a congressman from South Carolina who called Bill Clinton, told him he needed to chill out a little bit. Bill Clinton, while president, a very high priority of his was the welfare, the well-being and of African-Americans and an appreciation of the plight of African-Americans.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, finally, KLSX's own Adam Carolla was back on television.
Oh, boy.
He was a guest on the Jimmy Kimmel Show Friday night.
I saw that. It was very funny.
Yes. Well, apparently he got into a very heated debate about dance-based television shows. And we have a clip of that. A-117.
All right. Here we go.
I don't like all these dance shows. I think this is a very dangerous trend. I got the Dancing with the Stars. We got the dance wars going on.
Mm-hmm.
Step Up.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, step to the streets.
Step two to the
step yeah. to the wherever. Everyone's like settling differences through the majesty of dance. Very dangerous trend, you know. I don't want the leaders of tomorrow dealing with Al Qaeda with like a two step or a Levant. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Very funny. I saw him on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. He's very funny on whenever he's on. We heard the clip the other day of was it on The Tonight Show?
Yeah. Where he's just shooting 20s at people.
Yeah, it was just so funny. He's so funny on those shows.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
That's what's happening.
All right. Robin with the news, everybody.
From America Mile in Los Angeles. With the news.
There she goes. There goes Robin, man.
Day 147.
All right, I got a question for the audience. A lot of relationships, a lot of marriages end up in divorce.
Yes, more than half.
Right. And if you have kids, it'd be nice to keep it cordial and never, mm-hmm. you know, trash mom or dad to the kids.
Right, in front of the kid. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, my dad was divorced. I think he divorced my mom back in the late 70s, and my mom passed away almost three years ago, and he never said a negative word about her.
Yeah. See, that's
ever.
That's a classy, honorable thing to do.
And he probably, you know, had a couple of experiences where he'd like to lay on me.
Right. But he doesn't, because that's your mom.
Right. He never, ever trashed him at all. Right. Trashed her at all.
Now,
Not once.
What about her?
Constantly. She wouldn't let up.
Really? On him?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
So I got a taste of what he went through for the first 15 years. A real decent taste.
Right.
But, man, she would not let go.
Is that how long they were married, 15 years?
They were married 15 years, and they were divorced for, let me see, almost 30 years. 20-some years.
Before she passed?
Yes.
Right. Did she ever remarry?
My mom?
Yeah.
No.
And
no, she did not.
She did not. But your dad...
There were no additional takers.
Right. But your dad remarried one time and is currently still married to his second wife.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. Just so the audience knows.
Yes. You know, my mom did the typical thing when she got divorced.
Oh, no.
And I think a lot of women do this. They find the guy that is exact opposite of your dad. You know, they leave or the relationship splits up and the wife will seek out the tennis player who loves to go on cruises, who loves to dance.
Right.
He's probably, has a little less wrinkles in his clothes than the old man.
Right.
He has some kind of general area that he works in, but nobody knows what his job is.
Right.
He owns his own company.
Right.
But he's into a lot of different things.
And not a lot of details always as to, what he does.
No, he usually drives a convertible.
Well, I think that is true, that women do try to find the opposite because...
But it's a deadbeat that they find. It's a guy who is all those things, but he has no dough.
You know, my dad's sister, my Aunt Edie, that is her name, her husband, Uncle Joe, I've told you about Uncle Joe, he died skiing, water skiing, had a massive heart attack. He was one of my dad's very best friends. In fact, he was more than like a best friend. He was like an older... brother figure to my dad, because he was like 10 years older than my dad. And my dad just loved Uncle Joe. And Uncle Joe was like a dude's dude. The house that his family lived in, he built with his hands.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was like a dude. He could fix anything, any electrical problems, anything, he had it down. Anything. Car, no problem. Could always fix it. So he divorces my dad's sister. My dad's kind of thinks that sucks because he thinks his sister effed up and lost a really great guy because, my dad loved Joe. So we go for Thanksgiving to meet her new boyfriend, the first time after the separation.
He's that dude.
It's Warren.
Oh, yeah.
And he is... Like a printer by trade, like he prints it in the local newspaper. So he has print all over his hands.
Oh, bah, bah.
And he's just was really nerdy and always had to, wipe his, his nose with the sleeve of his shirt. And my dad got in the car and he got in the car with us. He said, guys, it's over. He says, it's over for Aunt Edie. It's just over. And said to my mom. He said, it's just over for her. I mean, look what she picked. I mean, I can't believe my sister would...
That's odd.
Right. So,
but did she divorce him or he divorced her?
Oh, no. Uncle Joe had an ass full because what happened was...
He pulled up stakes?
Yeah, well, and in a very honorable way. Talk about honorable dudes like your dad who never say anything bad about your mom. Uncle Joe worked his ass off. I mean, like I say, he literally built the house with his hands and worked, 17 hours a day and would come home... And, expected, maybe a little dinner. And I guess, the house was always... I don't really talk to my aunt, so I hope she doesn't hear this. But she lives in New Jersey. So they, Uncle Joe was pissed.
She could live in Riverside and not hear this.
Uncle Joe was pissed off. So Uncle Joe called my dad and did a real stand-up thing. Said, I'm coming over. I got to tell you something. Drives over to Staten Island from New Jersey and says, Barry, it's my dad's name. I have to tell you, I'm leaving your sister. I can't take it anymore. I'm out. I can't.
Is it when they high-fived?
I think so.
He got it.
My dad said, Joe, I understand. It's a really, really, really unbelievable thing that you'd come here to tell me this. I mean, I love you and all that. And Uncle Joe went back to the house in New Jersey and put a fork in the marriage. And
oh, wait a minute. So Uncle Joe told your father before he told his wife?
Absolutely.
He like sort of asked permission.
He had so much respect for my dad. They had such a close relationship. He didn't want my dad's sister calling my dad crying, oh, he's leaving me, he's leaving me. So what he did was he came over and almost like you'd go to a chick's dad and ask for her hand in marriage. He came to my father and said, I'm going to leave, you know, and I want you to know that before the kids know.
Did your dad's sister ever find out that your dad knew before she did?
I don't think so.
And then, that would have terminated that relationship.
Well, that relationship actually terminated anyway.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. But my dad told a great story of going to, you know, he then felt the obligation every weekend or every other weekend to go check in on his sister, right?
Right.
So he goes, my father was a very funny storyteller, so I, you know, I'm not doing the story justice. But he goes to the house.
Wished he was here. Oh, that's it. You know, I couldn't resist it. Whenever he says my dad was a good storyteller, wish he was here. That got me laughing pretty good. I like that little insult. All right, plus a couple of minutes where I could stretch out in here. All right, folks, who is the crazy guy that your mom ended up with once dad had an ass full? Was he exactly the way I described? He likes dancing, likes to play tennis, likes to go on cruises, really can't define what job he has. He has a convertible, always well-dressed, and he's everything your dad wasn't. All right, who did mom end up with once dad said enough? 520-9710. That's our main number here in Southern California. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.
But my dad told a great story of going to, you know, he then felt the obligation every weekend or every other weekend to go check in on his sister, right?
Right.
So he goes, my father was a very funny storyteller, so I, you know, I'm not doing the story justice. But he goes to the house.
Wished he was here. All right, there he goes. All right, this is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. He's back! Whitman, nice to see you, dude.
Well, I got a call on my cell phone again. You know, get back
in that studio.
Get back in the studio. It doesn't matter what he says to you. He doesn't mean it. Get your ass back in that studio. So,
it was a joke.
Here I am.
You know, I you were a great storyteller, but I had to take a shot there.
Hey, brother. By the way, I was going to ask the audience. I asked Jerry, do you know what was different about that walkout than any other? You want to hear it one more time just to...
Your headphones?
No. There was something different about that walkout than almost all others.
I don't know what it was.
Well, listen to it.
Huh?
But my dad told a great story of going to, you know, he then felt the obligation every weekend or every other weekend to go check in on his sister, right?
Right.
So he goes, my father was a very funny storyteller, so I, you know, I'm not doing the story justice. But he goes to the house.
Wished he was here. I don't know what it was.
No, you don't know, do you?
No.
All right.
What was it?
I said nothing. Usually I say F you. Usually I swear at you. Usually I say I'm out. Good night.
That's pretty good.
I just said nothing.
All right.
And bailed.
All right, gang. Who did your mom end up with once dad split? Describe that guy to us.
Oh, this again on the air? I thought you said he would never call between 8 and 11.
Hello? Hey, how are you? Okay. All right. I know. I messed up. I thought it was for tomorrow. Yeah, give me...
Oh, come on, Tim.
Brian, please. I'm behind. Give me a 3 units on the Giants... Oh, it's 12 and a half? It's moving towards the Giants?
Can you just do this after the show or before?
All right, give me 3 units on the Giants. and two units, the half, six? Okay, 6 point half? Okay. Three units on the Giants, give me the points, shut up, Brian, and two units on the Giants to be either up or either down less than six by halftime. The spread is six at the half?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. So the Giants closer than six in the first half, and the Giants 12 and a half in the Super Bowl.
What in the world am I doing?
Yeah, I know. I owe you money. I know, Babu. All right. And do me a favor. Call me. Don't call me on the show.
Call him before the show.
Yeah, call me either before or after.
Call him before
eight.
Yeah,
Jason's. What's your name? Brian. Brian's getting pissed.
Who's Jason? My replacement.
All right, thanks, dude.
Who's Jason?
He's the guy. You think he is?
All right, just don't do that during the show. I mean, you know, because
hey, listen, I can't get a hold of him during the day. So he's busy sometimes.
It happens constantly.
Get out of here. All right, who'd your mom end up with when dad split? All right, he's always interesting. It's always interesting to hear guys and girls describe their loser stepfather that pulled up to the house. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, what's fortunate about you, young man, you never had to go through the steps.
Right. My mom and dad stayed together.
You never had to see mom sit in a house when stepdad pulls up in like a Fiat, 1978 Fiat convertible. It's leaking oil all over the place.
Right. It was always my mom and dad.
He gets out with a briefcase. You have no idea what the guy does for a living. He picks her up and holds her. He's a big, strong guy.
Weird.
And it turns out everybody hates the a-hole. Oscar in Ventura, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, fine. How are you guys doing?
All right, dude.
Great. Well, I just wanted to call in. The topic just caught my mind, and I was on my way home. And anyways, the person that my mom ended up with was actually another lady.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's really surprising.
Yeah.
Was she pretty hot?
She actually waited. I have two older sisters, and I was the youngest child. And after, she was in and out of a relationship, and this lady actually kept her in line, so it was actually a good thing for me. A lot of my family used to talk bad and be like, oh, that's your dad, and, you know, mess around like that. But, you know.
Wait a minute. So did your mom end up living with this chick?
Yeah, we had a house and everything, man. This lady, she went to work, you know. Till this day, she takes care of two of my sisters. You know, she comes around, I call her my mom, you know, because, you know,
Who's hotter, the your mom or your stepmom?
The stepmom.
Now, let me ask you a question. If it's your, I assume the answer is no, but I'll ask anyway. If it's your stepmom, she's really just a chick. She's not related to you at all.
Yeah.
Could you, like, kind of get into that? I mean, I know she sleeps with your mom.
She's already 50-some years old, dude, I can't look at her that way because she's raised me. She put me through boxing classes. She put me, you know, through 4-H, and I got to experience way more of a life than I would have done with my regular mom because she was just a drug addict.
Do you have a policy of not banging chicks who your mom's banging?
When I was younger, I loved it. I would come over, and my mom would have, well, you know, they would have all the girls over, you know, because that's the way it was. And I'd wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'd see them naked in bed together. I used to always do that. I loved it. I love waking up early.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. You loved waking up early to see your mother naked in bed with another chick?
No. Not my mom. Her friends, the people that would crash at the party, dude. I would wake up and make them noodles and stuff like that because I was a kid wanting to, you know, get to know them.
Right. What a great breakfast chef you are.
Noodles.
Yeah, I bet, you know.
Anybody for noodles?
Yeah, anybody for noodles? Top ramen after, you know, getting drunk. But,
get
know,
your noodles. You got piping hot noodles here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
all right, well,
for you
what happened to your dad? What did he do?
Man.
He what?
Just a deadbeat.
Oh. So your dad's a deadbeat?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't get along with him?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. No. All right, man. How many kids in your family?
No kids. Oh, well, I have no kids.
No, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got two older, and my mom waited 9 years and had two younger ones. So
two older what? Humans?
I have two older sisters and two younger brothers. I mean, two younger sisters what? As well.
All right, Tim. Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying.
Are you doing a family tree?
No, I'm just saying. Listen, you got two lesbians at the top of the tree. And then you got four women underneath the tree. Did any of those chicks turn out to be lesbian? Okay.
No. We're all different dads, these two.
Wow.
All different dads.
All different. My mom got around.
Yeah, girlfriend got around.
There's five kids in your family, all by different dads.
Yeah, that's right. And they all range. I'm 24. I have two older sisters that are about 3-4 years apart, and two younger sisters that are 2 years apart.
Okay, how
busy is Father's Day dinner at your joint?
They're all deadbeat. I'm telling you, we don't see no dads really around here. I'm the one that takes over for it.
Right, so you're like the dad because you're the one son. You're like the male figure for all of those four girls.
Exactly, but the two older ones are out and done their thing. They're all screwed up and in the streets, but the little ones, I could take advantage and just, lay into them.
You mean yell at him and stuff?
Exactly. All right,
Bubba. How much weed do you smoke?
I'm actually rolling a joint right now, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Whatever you got to do to get through it, man.
No, I don't. It's not even like that, man. But I have a home.
We're gonna give you something for going through such a crazy childhood. We're gonna give you something here, dude.
Oh, hey, appreciate it, man.
You like auto racing?
Come on. I'm not speedy or nothing. I don't really auto race. I play Xbox 360, I need a new big screen, man.
How old are you?
I'm looking for a plasma. I want to go buy a plasma. I do, dude. I've been saving up and saving.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We're going to give you a, if you don't want the tickets, then we'll give you a 4-pack of tickets to the LA Times Travel and Adventure Show.
Well, maybe give him a choice.
Maybe you can get a...
he's laughing at our prices.
Like maybe they're offering cruises for... like a lesbian cruise you can lay on your mother's.
Bring your noodles.
Yeah. It's the Long Beach Convention Center going on February 9th and 10th. Go to latimes.com/travel show for all your answers. Get to the travel show, man. Start traveling.
Yeah, man.
Wow, what a nutty life that dude had.
Yeah, but...
All right, call us. Your mom and dad split up. Who'd your mom end up with? I got an idea, man, but it's always nice to hear kids describe their loser stepfathers. 520-9710, 888-520-9710 at 10 o'clock. Malibu Dan's coming in for a little Stump the Monkey. Sam Simon's here, big producer in town. He's going to lay some jack on him every time Malibu Dan gets a correct answer.
How much jack?
Well, he brought none with him, so I guess he's pretty confident that Malibu Dan's not going to get any of these answers right.
I think Dan will get a few, so, Sam might have to go to the ATM.
It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. It's always fun to hear guys describe the loser that mom ended up with once dad took off.
Right.
All right, let's talk to Chris in Glendale. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I just thought I heard your story, and I said, about your about stepdads, and I thought, this is right up my alley in my life. My mom, she knows how to pick them. She always picks the drunk deadbeats. I have three stepdads that have never even been to one of my mom's weddings.
Wow, is that right?
Never been to even one of your mom's weddings?
Oh.
Jerry, please. He's very distraught over this. How often does your mom get remarried?
This is a recent one. I was over in Iraq. I'm in the Army.
Wow.
And she married this loser. I already told her, this guy is just going to be abusive to her. I mean, I saw it from the get-go, and as soon as I go off into Iraq and I find out she's in the hospital.
Oh, God. Mm,
boy.
And over the picture, there's a picture that he took of her with his other girl that he kind of hangs around with.
Oh, boy.
And overlooking her deathbed.
Oh.
What?
My mom was almost to death, but they saved her.
How did she die? How did she almost die?
Thank God she's okay.
Did he beat her? He pushed her around?
Kidneys was failing during surgery.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, my God. That's so serious. Oh, my God. So he took a picture with his girlfriend who he was cheating with?
Yeah.
Did you get him with the bayonet?
No, I haven't been over to Omaha to go see him. I chose at an early age. I was about maybe 11 or 12, that, you know, I think it'd be safer to live with my grandparents.
Right.
My
When's the last time you were over in Iraq?
I was in Iraq 2003, 2004.
How are we doing? How are we doing over there now? You hear from your buddies?
I actually live here. I was over there. I'm in the Army, and I was doing I was a supply specialist in the Army National Guard.
How are we doing now over in Iraq?
I don't know. I haven't been over there. It just seems like it's one of those. It's like a yo-yo.
Right.
Good one day, bad the next.
My friend, the picture you took and the picture that he took, this guy took. I can't get over this. This is so horrible. He's with his girlfriend. It's him, and you can see your poor mom, probably unconscious in a hospital bed.
Yes.
Oh my God! I'd kick that guy's ass.
And if I didn't have, you know, if I had the time and money, I'd just go make a flight over there. But fortunately, I'd just end up getting in trouble. And then
well, Brian's got some money. Maybe he can pay for the ticket.
I would kick that guy's ass. That guy does deserve to have his ass kicked.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the service over there, dude.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, guy's kicking ass over in Iraq, and his mom's getting her ass kicked over here.
God Jesus. Almighty. Can you imagine that?
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk to David in Hawaiian Gardens. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good. Who would your mom end up with?
Well, I had never met my real dad, and she ended up with this guy who was a real piece of work. I was about 10 years old, and I had my childhood dog, a little girl dog, was my favorite dog ever since I was like maybe six. And maybe 2 years that he was with my mom, I woke up one day on a Saturday.
By the way, I don't think I can hear this story.
Why?
Is this involved something bad happening to the dog?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm turning my headphones off. You go right ahead, please, but I can't do it.
Okay, so anyway, it was like a Saturday morning. I woke up. I was going to go give my dog a refill the bowl of water. And I wake up, I realize I can't find the dog, so I call my mom and I say, you know, I can't find the dog, I'm going to go look for him. She says, don't bother, he's gone. And I was like, what do you mean she's gone? And she says, you know, they took her. And he's like, what do you mean? Your stepfather, she said his name, but your stepfather took him to the pound. And worse yet, like I found out later that day, I thought she was dead for sure. But I found out later that day that not only did he just take her to the pound, but he didn't have the decency to take her to the pound and get her put to sleep. I mean, thank God for me. But
did you pick a dog up from the pound?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Oh,
like,
God.
The next day, we got the dog back because he had just taken her to the pound like he had found her on the street, so that she'd have to be, like, you know, through 2 weeks of hell in that pound before they put her to sleep in the first place.
Wow. So the guy ended up killing the dog.
God
and,
damn it, Tim!
And the other two dogs, the puppies were killed, too?
God damn it.
Both of them. And, like, I came home one day, and he was, like, skinning one of the puppies.
He was skinning a puppy.
Oh,
wow.
Tim, please,
right in front
stop
of
it.
Him, huh?
Stop it. I asked you to stop.
What happened to the other two? Did he skin the other two?
No, the
please
other
disconnect.
Two. He had the other two, like, hanging up already, like, in front of the kitchen window.
He had them stuffed?
Please disconnect the call. Please, Tim, disconnect the call.
Oh, boom. And how do you know that that's what you had for dinner that night?
Turn it off! I can hear you!
Well, the thing is, like, I guess the food didn't go down well.
Oh.
Like, I threw
disconnect
up
the call!
That.
I can hear you!
But when you said, can I have seconds, your mom didn't tell you at that point it was dog you were eating?
Oh, Tim,
no,
please.
She didn't tell me anything like that. She said, it's like...
just hit off or put them on hold.
What did it taste like?
It tasted like... I don't know if you've ever had...
Yeah, chicken, that's what they say.
Yeah. Oh, please, sir. I hear you, Tim.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, there he goes. Oh, ba-boom.
Tim, I heard you.
That's quite a story, man.
No, but Tim, I heard you.
Well, I'm in the same room. I can't do anything about it, dude.
But I asked you not to, you know, you're speaking so loud you moved your chair over.
I didn't move anything over.
And I had my headphones down and my fingers over my ears. And
Richard in Irvine, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
All right. Hey, who'd your mom end up with?
All right. This is a pretty traumatizing story. Like, when I was about 14, my mom and dad got divorced, right? Well, my mom started dating, you know, 25-year-old. And she was about 50, you know?
Right. How old were you at the time?
14.
Was your mother a MILF?
Can I lay out a quick impression on you real quick? She's a hot Asian woman.
Wow.
All right.
Was the guy, was John hitting her?
Probably. I don't know, maybe, because, like, we used to live in, like, the areas, like, he said he's notoriously been
that he patrols?
Yeah, so, yeah, but now, here's the catch. I'm, like, about 19 right now, or I'm actually about 20, And she's actually dating guys younger than me, like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds.
How come you're ballparking your age?
I'm about to be 20, that's why.
Oh, I see, okay.
No, you're 19, dude. Believe me, say it as long as you can.
In my early 20s.
Right. Say I'm 19 as long as you can.
I'm in my late teens.
Here's the great part about this, though, too.
I've never heard a young guy do that.
I've never heard a guy do that in my life. I'm in my late 20s.
I've heard older guys do it.
I've heard women do it all the time.
Right, right.
I'm in my late teens. All right, buddy, you're a big stud, Richard. We thank you for calling. Wow, a guy ended up with a mom who was dating men his age.
Well, younger than him.
Ah.
And currently, because he's 19, his mom is dating. She's a cougar.
Ah.
Mom's dating 18-year-olds.
Dude, I can't get over that dog story, man.
Please, Tim, I asked you. I turned my headphones off. I didn't want to hear it. Please don't repeat anything about it.
All right, you'll have to hear it on podcast.
I won't listen to that particular call. I don't like to hear those stories of animal cruelty and stuff.
All right, speaking of animal cruelty, we have Stump the Monkey coming up with Malibu Dan.
That is kind of cruel.
And Sam Simon's going to lay some jack on him for every answer he gets right. That's a safe wallet tonight. Safest wallet in L.A. tonight. It's Conway and Whitman live at 97.1 Free FM.